Can the Fed bring down the unemployment rate with more stimulus?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve kicks off a meeting today in Washington, and we're in for another debate over which is a bigger concern for the U.S. economy, inflation or unemployment. The Fed is expected to choose unemployment and announce it's shifting some of its investments in an effort to stimulate the economy. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
The Fed will be discussing a new twist in monetary policy that'll lower interest rates on big loans like home mortgages or construction projects. Lower interest rates are supposed to spark more economic activity. But call it the twist or the foxtrot or whatever you want, ING Bank senior economist James Knightley says interest rates are already low and no one is dancing. The problem, he says, is hesitant banks are requiring big down payments before they lend.
And also, with consumer confidence being so weak, households are also fairly reluctant to get into more debt. So I'm just a little bit cautious about how effective and how stimulative this new policy is likely to be.
Operation Twist may be inconsequential, but also harmless, he says. So at least the Fed will look like it's trying to do something. And in the end, that may be its biggest benefit. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, one downside to the bond buying the Fed has been doing is that many Americans are making less money on their safer investments. Think retirement funds, which are often filled with bonds. Think savings accounts. And low returns in these places tend to hurt middle-class Americans who don't play the stock market. Well, it's the future of the middle class that concerns Don Peck. He's a writer for The Atlantic, and he's got a big story in the September issue called Can the Middle Class Be Saved? Don Peck joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how do you define the middle class, first of all?
Well, I mean, I think that many college graduates today define themselves as middle class and are very worried. They should be because of the economic weakness we're seeing. But really what I was looking at was what I call the non-professional middle class, people with a high school diploma but not a college degree. These are the people that are really struggling in the U.S. today.
And what is the main cause of it?
Well, you know, even before the recession, this was a group that was under siege because of the technological substitution of labor and because of global offshoring. And what we saw in this recession is the acceleration of both of those trends. Companies pulled forward offshoring decisions, restructuring decisions that otherwise would have taken years. And high school graduates have really suffered as a result.
I think a lot of people think that in order to succeed in the future economy, you'll have to have a college degree. But you write that that might not actually be the case for everyone.
Well, I think we should support college education for anyone who wants it and try to widen it. But the fact is that only 30% of American adults, even young adults, have a college degree. And that number has been increasing extremely slowly. I think we need to find ways to build pathways into the middle class for people who finish high school but aren't necessarily cut out for college.
Do you think that there's some view from the sort of Donna Reed 1950s that a middle class family is supposed to be able to have a big house in the suburbs and a car and maybe take a vacation every once in a while, but that in fact, in the future or even now, that's not the middle class anymore. That's just the rich.
Well, I think it would be a shame if that were the case. You know, we can quibble about house sizes and the like. I think houses probably got a little too big for a while. But I think an important part of the American idea is a prosperous, upwardly mobile middle class. And my worry is that absent aggressive and really wide-ranging action to rebuild our middle class over time, you know, we could be left with more of a two-tier society. And I think that would be, unfortunate and not a country that many Americans really would want to live in.
Don Peck of The Atlantic, his new book is Pinched, How the Great Recession Has Narrowed Our Futures and What We Can Do About It. Don Peck, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up around the world this morning, more than 1% in London and in Frankfurt, even after Italy's credit rating was downgraded this morning by Standard & Poor's. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 108 points to close at 11,401.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
and by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
We got earnings this morning from the packaged food maker ConAgra, which makes things like Hunt's ketchup and Healthy Choice. The company said it had a hard time making money last quarter because of the rising cost of ingredients. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, that squeeze is happening at every link in the food chain, from farm to supermarket.
Carlos Hernandez says it's been costing him more and more to stock his supermarket near Miami. But he says he's been trying not to raise his prices. The competition is tough, and his customers are mostly from low-income households.
A lot of times, milk goes up 4 cents a gallon, or 5 cents a gallon, 10 cents a gallon, and we don't raise our prices.
It might not sound like much, but it adds up when you sell 800 gallons of milk a week, and when you're eating the margins on dozens of other products, too. The price pressures in the grocery aisles are also preventing food companies like ConAgra and General Mills from passing on all of their increased costs. Ricky Volpe is a research economist at the Department of Agriculture.
We've seen an increase in fuel prices, which necessarily increases the transportation and the production costs for all these commodities.
The weak dollar and bad weather have also pushed food prices higher. Volpe says commodity prices should start dropping in the next few months, but it probably won't mean lower prices in the stores. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, to a passenger train in India that went the wrong way for 18 hours and ended up hundreds of miles away from its destination. The problem? Officials accidentally used the station code BSP instead of BBS when they were setting the train's course, and many of the passengers apparently fell asleep so they didn't even notice until it was too late. One passenger told the Times of India, "Though the journey was agonizing, we thank our stars that the train did not run into another train." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes away on Tuesday, but people discharged under the policy wanting to get back into the service isn't going to be all that easy.
It's not the Navy that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. The retention across the military is high. The Marine Corps has a waiting list to get in.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Big lines, long waits. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.